Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the New Mainstream podcast, where we explore the impact of multicultural consumers on marketing and media. I'm your host, Mario Carrasco, and co-founder of Think Now. Today, our guest is Marco Valadez, partner at the ID Agency and the executive producer of the LA Originals film on Netflix. Marco, good to chat with you again. It's been a couple years. We were introduced by a mutual contact, did some work on Hispanic gamers, if you remember, and actually we still get a ton of downloads on that. Yeah. And there's probably more interest now than when we first did it. But please introduce yourself and tell us more about your role at the ID Agency.
Sure, Mario. Thanks for having me, man. It's been a while, but it's great to hear from you. At the ID Agency, I'm one of the partners there. Victor Carrillo and I run the company together. My primary role there is to bring in revenue, work with clients. I'm essentially in charge of client relations, and Victor leads strategy. And then we also have a really good team that leads creative. On my side, the main clients that I work with right now are Hot Wheels and Mobile One, and we also do quite a bit of work with Xbox. So still working with gamers and the gaming industry, which is fantastic. But ID Agency is primarily a communications and marketing company, and it started off as a PR agency many, many years ago, and we've evolved into marketing, strategy, content creation, all falling under marketing and communications. So it's been a really good run. We've got a lot of long-term clients. We got a great team at ID. That's what I love best about our group is we're a small group of about 12 people, but everyone works really, really hard, and we've been very fortunate during this crazy time that we were able to keep everything intact. People are working from home, but we're still very busy planning and working with our clients to try and market in a crazy world that is now, but it's been a challenge. It's been a big challenge, but we've a lot of, experiential is pretty much gone for now, and we've pivoted to a lot of social media, content creation, and virtual events for our clients.
Yeah, I've seen some of the work you've done specifically with Hot Wheels on social media, and it's looking great. And what prompted me to reach out to you, and I'm bummed I didn't know the history of SA Studios and ID Agency when we first met. I would have asked you way more questions, but I saw your name pop up when I watched the Netflix film LA Originals, which was amazing, by the way.
Thank you.
And, as a native Los Angelino, really appreciated the documentary, how it highlighted Chicano artists, showed the reach of Latino culture and LA culture. Can you tell us, how did that come to be? The content spans years, decades, it looks like. How did that all come together?
Yeah, so Esteban is the director of LA Originals. He has always had a vision that, he's one of the best storytellers of all time. Even if you spent time with Esteban, he knows how to tell a great story. And he's been able, through his lens, through his photography, through the filming that he's done, he's been able to capture an entire generation, really, of and contribute to not only music but art, culture, you name it, and cartoon was right there with him, the film was pretty awesome. We've been working on that for over 14 years, believe it or not.
But
we've had a lot of people, didn't trust Esteban early on as a director, but he held his ground. Patience paid off, and you know, my role in the whole thing was just putting the pieces together. I mean, it's like one giant puzzle. All the pieces were there. We maybe were missing a couple key pieces. I was able to help Estevan and Cartoon get their story told by, you know, finding a really great partner. Really, it's all through relationships, which is crazy. Like, and that's a lot of what ID Agency, a lot of the way we get our business is through old relationships. Just, you know, we've been in this business for over 15, 20 years now, but it's a lot of relationships and never burning anybody, being fair to everybody. Through a very good friend of mine, his name is Emiliano Kalamazuk. He introduced me to Sebastian. And Sebastian is an Argentinian guy. When you meet him, he's covered in head to toe tattoos, and but he's the Bruckheimer of Latin America, man. He's produced some of the best shows on television in Latin America and South America, and he's amazing. When I met him through our mutual friend, he told me that Estevan and Cartoon were two of his biggest inspirations. You know, and I was like, wow, that's amazing. You should meet him. He's like, I'd love to. So that same day we meet Estevan first and we clicked. It was a half hour meeting turned into a 3 hour meeting. And that was sort of how we started putting the documentary together. He said, hey guys, I want to help you do this. And he asked us what we were doing. We said, well, we got this thing. It's a documentary. We just got the rights back and would love to get it done. And so really, Sebastian put all the wheels in motion from digitizing the assets. He assigned a really great producer named Ryan Maya, who pretty much ran the show. And, you know, was he had a big, big hand in securing the music supervisor. You know, he also helped write the documentary with another guy in Argentina. So we did it all in Argentina, which is amazing. It took this guy to believe in Estevan in Argentina to do a story about LA.
you mentioned digitizing, and throughout the whole film, I was thinking, man, like, this is not all digital, right? Like, obviously a lot of it is Esteban's, film work, right? Because he's big on film, and then some of the behind the scenes stuff. Obviously, it's like handheld camcorders. Like,
yeah,
how much footage were you guys sitting on?
Terabytes and terabytes of footage. It's great.
that's awesome, man.
So that was really the biggest part of it was just, you know, Sebastian funded the whole first part of digitizing the assets, you know, putting the team together to do it properly. Like, the one thing Sebastian knows how to do, he knows how to produce films and television shows and tell stories at a very high level. So really, it's with him, with Estevan and Brian and Cartoon and myself and Mark Suroff, who's another executive producer, everyone had a hand in making this happen. It was truly, truly a team effort. So I was really happy the way it turned out. I think it told a fantastic story, and it's done really well for Netflix. And Netflix didn't really release, you know, the numbers, but just by virtue of the feedback we're getting and the people who are reaching out to us, it's really in a crazy time. It helps inspire a lot of people. So I'm really proud of that. I'm really proud of Estevan and Cartoon. They've worked very hard to get to where they are, and I've sort of been there, you know, the last 14 years behind the scenes, and so it's nice to be it's nice to see all that work pay off, and it's nice to see that, you know, the industry is finally looking to Estevan to do a lot more. So that's the other exciting part, is we have two exciting scripted shows that we're working on right now, another documentary, and Estevan's going to be busy for many, many years to come. So I think that's the best part about this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, and watching it, I think you're truly an icon when you've influenced culture so much that you just kind of take these images or the look and feel like Mr. Cartoon and Estevan really defined that LA feel, right? And it's hard to explain, but you look, you watch the film and you're like, man, like these are the guys, right? These are the guys that did that. And that's what stood out to me. And it came out kind of towards the beginning of the pandemic, right? Like,
yeah.
If I remember.
We were supposed to premiere it. We're going to world premiere it at South by Southwest. And that we had a huge, you know, we had a big plan. Netflix was planning a huge premiere at the biggest theater in Austin. We were going to premiere it at South by. And when South by got canceled, we were like, oh, no, great. Now there's no premiere. There's no nothing. Like, but we still got to release it. So it released, yeah, when everybody was quarantined and it was interesting timing all around, but I think it actually favored the film in the sense that a lot of people got to see it and we were able to get a lot of people to talk about the film, you know, and Esteban and Cartoon, like I mentioned relationships earlier, these two guys have the best relationships because they not only inspire so many people, but they get to work with a lot of people. I mean, Eminem tweeted about it and posted on Instagram, and that was gigantic. You know, George Lopez talked about it. Pretty much everyone in the film helped promote it, and that was really exciting to see. And I think that's the thing with Cartoon and Esteban. You know, people want to see them succeed. I think we've seen Cartoon succeed quite a bit because he's sort of at the forefront of creating some great art. And Esteban, he's always been very well respected. He does amazing work behind the lens. But I felt like this was sort of his turn to really succeed as well at a very high level. Everyone loves him. Everyone respects him. And I think that you see that through this film because he's been there every step of the way for so many careers and helped inspire so many people. So, and he's captured it. He's captured it all on film. So it's amazing, man. You know, I think he's been called a lot of things. Roy Choi called him the Ansel Adams of the streets, you know?
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect. Yeah.
George Lopez called him the Cholo Da Vinci. him and Cartoon. He said, you know, straight up, they're Cholo Da Vincis. And, yeah. And so I think that it's just, you know, I don't know, man. It's been a very crazy ride, but I'm also very proud of these guys. And this is just, you know, this is just sort of like the middle of their story. They got a lot more to do and many more stories to tell.
Yeah, and I feel like it's timely, right? Because we have the pandemic, but then we have all this social unrest, right? From what's happening with George Floyd, Black Lives Matter.
Absolutely.
And the film, I mean, I think the film does a really good job of highlighting how multicultural Los Angeles is inherently, right? Yeah. I mean, you have and Esteban and Mr. Cartoon really embodied that and reflected that in their art. When I think of ID Agency and the work, I don't necessarily think of you guys as a multicultural shop, but I think by like the nature of you being in Los Angeles and just the connections you have, you embrace that. I mean, how do you define ID Agency or yourselves? Like, are you a multicultural shop? Are you Los Angeles? I mean, how do you describe yourself and how does multiculturalism play into that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. We, you know, at ID, we position ourselves as, you know, an agency that handles marketing and communications for all of our clients. And a lot of our clients have different objectives. And sometimes the strategy is to go, you know what, guys, this is a great initiative. These are the artists that we're going to work with, you know. Like Foot Locker is a great brand, and we work closely with Foot Locker on they're very focused on targeting, like I think they call it geo marketing, geo target marketing, where it's very local for them because we want to drive traffic to Foot Locker stores in different areas of LA, you know. So
yeah,
every part of LA is different, you know. I mean, like, you know, so, you know, we East LA, Boyle Heights, you know, is all Latino, you know. On the west side, you know, we'll target definitely, you know, the white kid, you know, and then South LA, Compton, we'll go after, you know, the black kids. So I think it's finding the right artist or the right creative to resonate within that area is key, you know, and that's just one example of some very focused marketing that we do for our client. And we don't really call it multicultural marketing. I think early on it was funny. With the guys, we thought we were a Hispanic agency because we're all Latinos and none of us really spoke Spanish that good, you know?
Yeah.
So we said, well, fuck it. You know what? We're a creative agency and we're going to target everybody. But it is sometimes it's a niche, sometimes it's broad, you know, with Xbox is a great brand to work with. They target everybody. If you're a gamer, they're going to go after you. And it doesn't matter what color you are or whatever. The gaming sort of unifies people across the board, which is fantastic. So, yeah, I think early on in our career, we were trying to be cultural marketing, Latino marketing, Hispanic marketing. We were just trying to figure it out. And then finally, we just said, you know what? We're marketers. We're going to market to whoever we need to get the job done for our client. And sometimes it's broad. Sometimes it's more broad than it is niche. And sometimes it's a little more niche than it is broad. But I think because Victor and I are both, you know, we're both sons of immigrants, you know, like both of our parents came from Mexico. Victor's been an entrepreneur his whole life. And I sort of went a different path. I went, you know, was like a square nerd and growing up, you know, and then I went to college and after college I got my first job in an agency. And then after that I said, I really want to do this on my own. So very early on in my career, I chose a different path and I'm very lucky to have met the right people along the way. And my mom always told me, you know, surround yourself with the right people. And I, you know, I've been lucky enough to do that with not only Victor, but Cartoon, Estevan, guys like Mark Suroff. And we've made a big impact, I feel, on marketing in general. I think early on we were doing seeding. We were doing product seeding for the Grand Theft Auto video game. Cartoon Estevan had a hand in creating and doing a lot of the creative for San Andreas. So on the walls in the game, they had their graffiti. They, you know, we took the developers on a ride all over LA.
Oh, that's cool.
And then
they took that to the next level, right? Making locations more realistic. That's awesome. You were a part of that.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. I mean, I remember a Cartoon Estevan taking these guys from New York and a couple, you know, Tahoes or Escalades just all over LA, and they were taking pictures. And that's the thing about Estevan. Estevan's the kind of guy, he's got a pass, man. He can take photos anywhere. People just want to be photographed by him, you know, and not that many people have that pass. So I think it's been pretty great to see Estevan sort of bring that world to the forefront. But you know, and then so then Xbox was one of our first big clients and said, guys, we have, you know, 50 Xboxes we want to give away, and you know, can you give it out to some folks that you guys know? And at the time, that was the first influencer campaign that we ever ran. And that was, you know, that was a lot. That was like 14 years ago, something crazy like that. But it was really cool to do that. And at the time, we just called it hooking up our friends, you know. Cartoon picked up the phone. And in those days, you had to pick up the phone and call people. You know, he called Snoop. He called Travis Barker. He called all of his tattoo clients, all of his friends. Estevan did the same thing. And we hooked everyone up with Xboxes. And then it was crazy to see that sort of turn. That was Xbox's first major influencer campaign. And we didn't even know it was an influencer campaign. But that's sort of how brands started to target people of influence, you know, and that turned into social media helped sort of fuel that. And the whole world changed, you know, I mean, with social media and with digital photography and and metrics and all that. So it's been a fun ride, man. I can't, I'm not going to lie. It's been a lot of fun.
I mean, I think you summarize this so well, because I have guests on from, you know, like large brands, right?
Yeah.
And like Pandora, where we're talking about how do they target multicultural audiences. But I think you summarized it really well. And I think brands and companies tend to complicate it, right? It's like, who are you targeting? You know, exactly. figure out the location. And I mean, I like your approach. Pick an artist that resonates with that, you know, that region, that location, those people. Like, you don't have to overcomplicate it, right?
Well, you have to progress culture. You can't, you know, hit it and quit it. You know, brands have to invest in communities. Brands have to invest in it the same way, like, artists have to invest in their own community. You know, like, a lot of artists make it and leave and don't come back. I think I'm a big believer that you have to contribute to a community. You have to inspire young kids. You have to give them the recipe for success. And I think in the old days, you know, when we first started out, we were very careful with who we told, what we were up to. Like, we were very secretive and very, like, keep everything, you know, close to the chest. Now it's like, dude, it's different. It's a different world. Everyone, you know, I dare someone to try and do what we do, you know, because they can't. I mean, they can't. I mean, people try, but they can't, you know, and a lot of people fake it. And I can tell within like 10 minutes of talking to someone, you know, if they're a culture vulture, or if they're trying to help progress culture. And I would rather work with a brand or work with artists that want to help progress culture, help inspire people, and help brands, or help people be loyal to brands through tactics that contribute to society, you know?
And what's great is that your approach obviously has been relevant for as long as you've been doing it, but now we're seeing a lot of new players in the culture game all of a sudden, right? And, sure. And that's so important. Like, you can't be a culture vulture. Like, you can't just put out a statement. You can't just, you know, yeah, do one donation. Like, you have to be dedicated to it. And I feel the same way, right? When we started Think Now, held everything very close to the chest, you know, and for fear of other companies doing what we do. But, you know, yeah, we realized we started the company with good intentions. Like, there was really no market research companies focused on at the time. We started with Latinos, and now, you know, we've hired and expanded to Asian, African American, Black. And now we realize, you know what, like, okay, you can hire somebody, but it's in our company's DNA, you know, and you can't take that from us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And no one can take away the hard work the foundation that you've laid. And no one can take away the relationships that you have. And that's what I love about it. I mean, people, you know, even like people within my own company, sometimes they leave. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, they're going to leave. They're going to go do something else. You know, I always encourage people, hey, man, if you're not happy, you know, go do something else, you know. You know, I would say a majority of the time, I end up getting a call from a client. Hey, it's so weird. So-and-so reached out to me, and then they want to talk, and I just don't like their approach, and that's kind of shady that they were, you know, they were at your company, and now they're doing their own thing, and now they're trying to. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, you know what? I said, you should talk to them.
I literally had that experience right before the pandemic. Someone was like, hey, this person reached out to me, and they said, you know, they asked me to hire them, and that they know everything about Think Now. I knew the person really well.
Yeah.
And he told the ex-employee, well, that, you know, that's cool. Like, I'll just call Mario and ask him whatever I want to know. I don't need to hear it from you, you know?
Exactly. And all those people get, you know, there's an old saying that every fraud gets found out eventually, you know? But, it is sort of a cutthroat business, but man, it is all about relationships. It's all about, you know, doing the right thing and doing your, I mean, listen, I got three little kids at home, and, you know, like, I want them to see that my hard work is paid off, you know? So it's a little different, you know, when you have listen, it hasn't always been easy, man. We've had our ups and downs, and
for sure.
I have a funny joke with Estev, and I was like, we've been almost millionaires countless times.
I like that, dude. Same. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, it's like, you know, but you know, the losses and the failures make the wins like so much better, so much sweeter, you know. So
for sure. I mean, even like when this pandemic hit, my first thought was like, man, what am I doing? Like, you know, why do we still have a business? I should have taken whatever offer.
Yeah.
That was like my first thought, right? Like those first couple weeks. And then I thought, man, I would have been way worse if I had a job, you know?
Yep. Exactly. Like, we've had a couple opportunities.
It would have been way worse. Yeah,
we've had those opportunities as well. And I told Victor the other day, I'm like, man, we really dodged a couple bullets the last few years, you know, because right now we're better off being independent. We're better off building with the brands that we have. And, you know, the goal is down the road to get acquired and to build and to get bigger. But, you know, the time will come for that. You know, now I think we got to focus on the clients that we have, the team that we have, and we got to make sure that we keep doing great work and that the culture at the agency continues to be that of, you know, encouragement and, you know, rewarding those who really work hard and help build the business. So.
For sure. Well, thanks for being on, Marco. I mean, I think you, you know, we have a lot of brands that listen that want to, you know, learn more about multicultural. We call it the new mainstream. So I think you gave some really good advice, like on keeping it real, especially during these times. If people want to find out more about ID Agency, about you, can you share like websites, social media handles?
Absolutely. You know, www.theidagency.com. And honestly, anyone can email me, marco@theidagency.com. That's the best way to get a hold of me. And yeah, man, Mario, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. And I would love to, you know, as they say in you know, in meetings, let's offline and see.
Yeah, let's offline.
and see how we can build, you know, because I think there's a lot of opportunity right now. And I would love, just even if I can connect you to some people and some brands, I think they would really benefit from talking to you. So let's do that.
I think the work that we did was ahead of its time, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so we should revisit that at some point. And before we log off, I'm going to put you on the spot. So can you hook me up with the Mr. Cartoon appointment after this pandemic, someone?
Absolutely, man. You know what? I always tell people I cannot get you a discount, but I can get you on his calendar.
that's all I want, man. I need to finish up my sleeve.
That'd be amazing. Yeah, I think he hasn't tattooed in about 4 months. So before it was about a year waiting list. And I think now we'll see. But absolutely, I'll make it happen for you.
All right, Marco. Thanks again, man.
Thanks, Mario. Have a good one, brother.
All right.
Bye. Take care. Bye bye.
Thanks to everyone listening in. To get more multicultural insights, check us out at thinknow.com and follow us on social media. You can also subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform. Final thank you to our producer, Lucas Martinez, who created our intro music and makes our podcast sound great. To email him, reach out to martinez.lucas.a@gmail.com.